The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
Well, I don't know if you saw at 9:30 last night on RT1 television the two-part documentary, the second of which parts on at the same time tonight, Whistleblower, the Maurice McCabe story. I certainly saw it. I was deeply impressed. As an advocate on his behalf for the past 5 years, I was really impressed by certain aspects of his genuine, authentic vocation of being a policeman and what it meant to him. I was also impressed by the game-changing political response he got from TDs like John McGuinness and members of the Public Accounts Committee, and we hope to speak to John on tomorrow's programme, in the context of current criticisms of the PAC being a kangaroo court. It chronicles the programme, his time when the difficulty started as sergeant in charge of Ballyborough, assault cases, off-duty drunken cops driving unmarked cars, laptops going missing, which he was stitched up for, and then on to his time where he was under such pressure in St. John of God's, the whole penalty points fiasco, the false report, the O'Mahony report, which the minister of the time said that they didn't cooperate, which was untrue, both himself and Wilson. And I have to say that I think this is one of the most important documentaries to have been broadcast in many decades in relation to Garda culture. It simplifies complex matters for important people, and copies of it should be provided as instructive viewing to everyone coming out of Templemore to teach them about good Garda culture. It's a great pleasure to welcome to the programme the author and presenter of the documentary, Katie Hannan. Katie, thank you for joining us and congratulations on the programme, although I haven't seen the second part of it. When did you first meet Maurice and Lorraine McCabe?
Well, I would have met Lorraine McCabe for the first time. And I think that Lorraine, in the documentary we put out last night, I think from the reaction we got to that, nobody had ever heard Lorraine speak before. And I met Lorraine in her own kitchen, going back to the time we were doing the story about the Tusla file, where they discovered that there had been this entirely false child rape allegation that had been conjured up basically out of nowhere, out of a cut-and-paste error by a counsellor, a HSE counsellor, and that this had been mishandled through the Tusla system for a period of years. And they had just discovered this. They had just got the file, and they were horrified to find that the Tusla had opened up files on four of their children. They were intake files, and they suggested that their four of their children were at risk from their father. So that was my first meeting with Lorraine McCabe, and I remember that time we spoke about what we would necessarily have to do if we were going to do that story on primetime, that we would have to air some extremely private information. We would have to put out for the first time the fact that Maurice had been accused of child sexual assault in 2006. This was an allegation that was fully investigated. It was found that there was no crime committed, even if what had occurred, there was no assault described. But this would have to come out if we were going to tell the story of what had happened in Tusla and about the fact that their children had now been drawn into it. And I remember that day Lorraine saying, it's okay, we'll have to do it. My children are involved now, we will do whatever it takes. And I remember that was my first meeting with Lorraine McCabe, and that was my first sense of the woman behind the man that was Maurice McCabe.
Okay, we just want to play a quick clip of Maurice and Lorraine from the documentary.
I thought when I resigned as sergeant in charge that they'd bring me in and say, okay, Maurice, let's sort all this out. Let's see what's happening in the station. But the following day, I got a sealed envelope saying, oh, yeah, no problem, bye-bye. A few weeks after I left, I went to my solicitor, Sean Costello, just to make a complaint to Garda Síochána.
I probably was afraid that he was getting into deep water. He was just pushing things too far. It wouldn't be me. I would have walked away.
Well, I was hoping for is that the issues I reported would be investigated and that I'd get back into position as sergeant in charge and it'd say, yes, I was right to highlight these issues. If I had to know then what was facing me, oh, I would never have done it. Never.
Katie, I recall one of the barristers in summing up, I think in relation to Dave Taylor at the tribunal, said, whistleblowers by their nature are almost damaged people in terms of what they go through. The resilience of Maurice and Lorraine is really, truly extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. Now, you see it from that documentary last night that it did. There was points of this where it almost did break them. There was, at the time when the word got out that he had made a complaint and his colleagues became aware of it, there was that incident that we showed in the programme last night where some colleagues off-duty, Gardaí from Ballyborough, put up some photographs online of
the rat.
Of the rat and, you know, sticking dark darts into a rat and making sexual gestures with the rat. And the rat was called Maurice. And underneath that was cheese-eating rat bastard. And that, obviously, you're living in a small community. You've got this sense that you don't know where you're welcome anymore. That did, you know, affect them and impact on that family very much. And Maurice and Lorraine described to us last night where that took them. It took them all the way to St. John of God Psychiatric Hospital in Dublin. And Lorraine described, I think, really powerfully, that feeling when they take your phone, they take your belt, and the door closes behind you. And that she had to drive back to their home in Mount Nugent that night, not knowing really what she was facing into. And at that stage, her children were still very young. Her youngest would have been just a baby. But that night turned into an massive turning point for Maurice McKay, because he says he thought through, he was awake for most of that night. He thought about his family at home and he thought, they need me. And he thought, I'm going to fight back. And he checked himself out the next morning. And after that, he again basically pursued, went back on the course and basically started to fight back.
Tell me, have you probed in all of this? While this was going on, and when it was established that he was unjustly treated and that he was telling the truth about Ballyborough and about incidents and about penalty points, and I was praising the politicians there, where was the system? Where was GSOC, the confidential recipient, the Department of Justice, AGSI, GRA? Where were they?
Well, at various points along the way, his complaints were, there was initially this Byrne McGinn investigation, internal inquiry. He was told that a certain portion of his complaints would be upheld. He was, you know, he was upset the others wouldn't be, but he thought, okay, we're getting somewhere. And then this circular goes around from the chief superintendent, Colm Rooney, telling every member in the Cavan Monaghan area that these complaints have been put in by Maurice McCabe and there was nothing to them at all, and congratulating all the Gardaí in that area. So then he moves on again and he tries to go through the confidential recipient. And we saw again, you didn't see last night, you will see tonight what happened in relation to that. He basically ended up getting nowhere and it turned into a fairly big political issue because
But does your programme go into the dogs that didn't bark?
Well, our programme really tonight the programme last night took us all the way up to Maurice McCabe's appearance at the Public Accounts Committee in 2014. Tonight we go back a bit in history again at the opening of tonight because we want to tell the backstory of Maurice McCabe's father. Because when you say, where did he get his resilience from?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people tonight
It was impressive last night as a sort of solid citizen.
Yes, but you also find out in tonight's programme that actually Maurice McCabe's father, Michael, has his own story to tell, because he fought a very, at times, dirty battle. He was fighting because the lake that he depended on for his living, he had a hotel that was attracted anglers. And Lough Sheelan was at that time being badly polluted by intensive pig production around the lake, and he was battling that, and he wasn't obviously very popular in some quarters because of that. And we were able to find footage of Michael McCabe speaking on RTE in this campaign. And Morris comments and Lorraine comments tonight that it was only really thinking back as they were going through it, they didn't see it. But in retrospect, they realized that this has incredible echoes of Michael McCabe's story. And Lorraine says that this refusal to step down or to stand down, that Morris got that from his father.
Okay, and also the thing of not wearing the hoodie, the father's intervention the night before the PAC thing, I thought was very interesting. The one thing that I'm not entirely happy about in relation to Charlton and in relation to the report and the evidence, I have huge difficulties about what happened in Tusla about the conflation of the files, and it's not in my heart to believe that it just wasn't malicious at some point along the way in terms of either the truth emerging and it being covered up or how it was concocted or fabricated. Does your programme tonight, because you didn't really deal with the Tusla stuff in great detail last night, will that be dealt with tonight from Morris's perspective?
Yes, from Morris. Tonight we actually take the story right up to the opening days of the Disclosures Tribunal, and we travel through the tribunal with Morris and Lorraine. So obviously that Tusla issue will come up. A lot of people have issues with that story, but where can we go? The Mr. Justice Charlton's finding on it was that it was the most extraordinary coincidence that would ever be accepted by a judicial tribunal. So that while he was very critical of the handling of this by some senior Gardaí, he was extremely critical of the mishandling and extraordinary mishandling of it by social workers all the way along the line. But he said that he could not find evidence of a conspiracy between the two.
Finally, I want to ask you personally, Katie, as a professional journalist, and the truth is, and to some extent Charlton camouflaged this, this was really divisive within the media. There were clear camps of those who were for and those who were against McCabe going back to 2013. And I have very vivid memories of this. Do you think, knowing all that you know, that Morris McCabe and Lorraine have got justice so far?
Well, certainly Morris McCabe and Lorraine McCabe feel are at peace after getting the
report. No, I didn't ask you that question. I asked you, what do you think? Has the full truth come out?
I don't feel the full truth has come out, no. I find it difficult to believe that, given how rife that rumour was at the time of the Public Accounts Committee, at the time that Seamus McCarthy and John McGuinness and Philip Autreys were approached, and some other journalists that came forward were approached, it's difficult to believe that others weren't also approached. At all levels. So I wonder, are there people out there still who didn't contact the Charlton Tribunal and still have a story to tell? And perhaps it may take some time and the passage of time before we ever really hear the full story of what happened in relation to this campaign of calumny.
Congratulations, Katie Hannan. It's a very fine piece of journalism. I hope you win an award for it, and I hope every graduate coming out of Templemore is instructed to watch the documentary for the next 20 years. I think it'll teach them more about Garda ethics and culture than anything else that they might learn out of a textbook. Thank you indeed for taking the time to join us today.